I rolled my eyes, then smiled in concession. All right, damn it. It's a date. What's wrong with me tonight? Indecisive as hell, I took off the third shirt I'd put on in 5 minutes and threw it in the corner of my bedroom. You'd think I'd never taken a woman out before. I wasn't used to dressing up either, finally settling on a charcoal-collared shirt and dark jeans. The reality was, the right shirt wasn't going to protect me from my own self-destructive behavior tonight. I knew damn well I had no control over my physical reaction to Gia. Yes, I wanted to get to know her even better. Yes, I wanted to hang out with her. But I wanted to fuck her more than my next breath, and I worried that the minute we started touching again tonight, that need would trump all. I was going to lose it. I just knew it. I'd made a reservation for us at a posh seafood restaurant about a half hour away. I figured the longer the drive, the better. That was more time in the car where I couldn't get myself into trouble on the very first night of dating. The sun was just starting to set as I pulled up to the beach house. After I rang the doorbell, I wiped the sweat off my forehead as I waited for her to answer. The fact that she still didn't know I owned her damn place made me chuckle to myself. Gia opened, looking good enough to eat right there on the spot, and that only confirmed how fucked I was. She was wearing a low-cut yellow dress that was long and flowy. Even though it was sexy, it didn't come across as slutty. She wore her hair down in waves. This sparkly headband sat atop her head and across her forehead. It reminded me of something Cleopatra would have worn. Gia was naturally exotic and beautiful, so I was glad she'd listened to me and kept the makeup to a minimum. She didn't need it. "You look nice," I smiled. "So do you," she said. Not knowing what the fuck to do with them, I slipped my hands into my pockets. I'd become conscious of my every movement. It was like I suddenly forgot how to act around her. Now that we knew where things stood and I had free rein to touch her, I was scared shitless that I was going to move too fast and do something to hurt her. As we made our way back to my Mustang, she asked, "Where are we going?" "You ever hear of Oceanside Manor?" "Yes. That place is crazy fancy." "Try to behave, then." I winked, opening up the passenger side door. "No breaking up any brawls tonight." As she settled into the seat, she took a deep breath in. "I've missed riding in your car." "Damn, I've missed it too." She crossed her legs, revealing that the dress she was wearing had a massive slit that allowed me a view of her toned and tanned leg all the way up to the top of her thigh. "Damn. Damn, damn. So much for extra time in the car keeping me out of trouble." Reaching into my pocket for a cigarette, I realized I'd run out. There was no way I was going to survive a 30-minute ride with legs over here if I couldn't smoke. Down the road, I abruptly stopped at a 7-Eleven before we had to get on the highway. "What are you doing?" "I have to get some smokes. I left my pack at home." I ran out of the car fast so I didn't have to hear her guilt trip about the fact that I was still smoking. Tonight was not the night to quit. "Pack a Marlboro," I said to the cashier. When he rang me up, I reached into my pocket for my wallet to find that it wasn't there. Patting my clothing down, I soon figured out that I'd left my wallet at home. Shit! I'd been so preoccupied with my wardrobe like a pussy, I forgot the most important thing. Leaning against the counter, I let out a long breath and slid the cigarettes back toward the man. "Sorry, dude. Forgot my wallet." Gia must have sensed the pissed look on my face when I returned to the car. "What's wrong?" Cranking the ignition, I sighed. "We have to go back. I left my wallet at home. We'll just stop by my place and I'll run in and get it." She placed her hand on my thigh, and it made my dick stir. "Don't be silly. I can pay for dinner." There was no frigging way I was going to let Gia do that, even if I paid her back. I couldn't imagine anything more humiliating than watching her open her wallet tonight and pay the tab. "Nah, I'll head back." The entire ride to my house, I was bracing myself for her reaction when we pulled into my driveway. She'd never seen where I lived. As we finally approached, as predicted, her eyes bugged out of her head when she got a load of my digs. "Oh my God! This is your house? It's amazing." Even though I didn't blow money like my father and brother, With the riches I'd inherited, the one thing I'd afforded myself was a damn nice place of residence. Two levels, all glass windows on the exterior, and overlooking the ocean, it was definitely a sweet property. There was no denying that. It was on a small private area of beach, secluded, just the way I liked it. I was just about to run in when Gia asked, "Do you mind if I go in with you? I'd love to see the inside." It shouldn't have surprised me that she wanted to see the house. Technically, I should have been a gentleman and invited her in. I just didn't trust myself alone with her. But what was I supposed to do now? Make her stay in the car after she'd asked to see it? Yeah, sure. Once inside, Gia looked around, soaking in my modern but minimalist style. Most of my furniture was black or gray. The walls of the main space were white and covered in my mother's paintings. I'd specifically asked her to paint different variations of the moon over the ocean at night. Gia was soaking it all in.
"Rush, this place, it's..."
"Thank you." It didn't take her long to notice the artwork. She walked straight over to the portrait of the fullest moon.
"Did your mother do these?"
I trailed behind her. "Yes."
"They're amazing,"
she said, brushing her finger gently over the canvas. "Do you have an obsession with the moon?" "You could say I like the moon, yeah. He's always there for me and has a little bit of a dark side, like I do, I suppose." I asked my mother to paint different interpretations of the moon over the water at night. I could tell the wheels were turning in Gia's head, like she was trying to figure out the meaning behind why I loved the moon, maybe trying to find some correlation between it and my yearning for dependability or love or some shit.
"Well, I definitely think the moon suits you over the sun."
I cocked a brow. "Because I'm a lunatic?" She laughed.
"Well, yeah, but also just the dark, mysterious vibe."
Gia just kept wandering around the house, oblivious to my itch to leave.
"Do you mind if I check out the second level?"
I wasn't going to be able to get out of this, but a part of me was starting to want to show her more as I became used to having her inside my home. Instead of answering, I nudged my head and led her to follow me up the stairs. She waltzed through my bedroom and burst open the doors that led to the upper deck. The last of the sun was going down over the breezy ocean. Gia just stood there soaking in the evening air and the scenery. She looked exquisite with her hair blowing around as she gazed out at the water. We were both quiet for a long while, listening to the seagulls before she finally spoke.
"If I lived here, I'm pretty sure I would never leave."
An image of Gia in shackles, tied to my bed, unable to leave, flashed through my brain. "Can't help your thoughts, right?" When she turned to me for some reason, I got the urge to say, "You're really pretty. You know that? Where did that come from?"
"I bet you say that to all the girls you bring up to this balcony."
I rarely brought women home if I could help it. Typically, I'd go to their place. On the rare occasions that I couldn't avoid it, I never took them up to my private bedroom, which led to this balcony. I'd use the first floor guest bedroom to entertain. "You're the first girl who's ever stood on it." Her forehead wrinkled.
"Are you serious?"
"Yes, I'm a private guy. I've never brought a woman up here before. This, the upstairs, is like my sanctuary."
"How come you let me up here, then?"
"Fuck if I know. I guess I trust you, or something." Her brow lifted.
"Or something?"
"Something I don't even understand. I lose my mind around you. From the second I met you, you set something off in me that I haven't been able to contain."
"So don't contain it."
I inched closer to her, placing a piece of hair behind her ear. "It's like I want to protect you and corrupt you at the same time. It's fucked up."
"It's not fucked up. It's sweet."
"You wouldn't think it was sweet if you knew what was going on in my head right now."
"I think I have a vague idea."
Wanting to kiss her so badly, I held back, instead looking down at my phone. "We should get going."
"Did you have a dinner reservation?"
"Yeah, we missed it." She looked hesitant to say,
"Do you mind if we hang out here instead of going there? I'm not really in the mood to go to a restaurant. I feel like I spend half my life in one. I would love to just sit out on this deck with a glass of wine. Maybe get some takeout?"
That sounded like exactly what I'd want to do if I weren't so damn scared to be alone with her. When I didn't answer, she said, "It's okay if you'd prefer not to." "No, it's fine," I spit out. "We can stay here." My night just got a whole lot more challenging.
Chapter 15. Rush had ordered Italian from a restaurant called Margarita's that was down the road from him. We'd had some wine with our eggplant parmesan and shrimp scampi. He seemed a lot more relaxed than he had been earlier. There was a kick-ass patio set up on the upper deck. We were both lying out on two separate outdoor chaise lounges. He was sipping his wine and smoking as his hair blew around in the night breeze. It was dark out now, making the flicker of his cigarette ash more prominent. He kept a good 2 feet away from me all night, but I couldn't help wishing he would move closer as the memory of our kiss from yesterday consumed my thoughts. I'd never been kissed so forcefully, so passionately. I could only imagine how he was in bed. Over dinner, we talked about a lot of things, including our childhoods and a little about his various businesses. We'd managed to cover the gamut. Well, besides the subject of what exactly was happening between us. Now, we were just staring out at the ocean again. "I feel so calm here. It's just so peaceful," I said.
"I've never shared this view with anyone."
"I still can't believe that." He put out his cigarette before reaching out his hand to me.
"I like having you here. A lot."
I squeezed it, noticing a look of worry on his face. "You look like that troubles you a little. What's wrong with liking that?" He was silent for the longest time before he said,
"Don't put up with any shit from me, Gia. All right?"
"What is that supposed to mean?"
"If you catch me starting to fuck up, put me in my place."
It was clear that Rush had some deep-rooted fears about hurting me. Maybe it stemmed from his father abandoning his mother. "You know, I could hurt you just as bad as you could hurt me. Remember, I'm the daughter of a woman who abandoned her husband and daughter. I could have bad blood in me too, but I'm not gonna worry about it. And I'm not afraid of you, Rush."
"You should be."
"Why?"
"Because I want to do really bad things to you right now. What I really should be doing is taking you home."
"I don't want to leave." His eyes were piercing.
"What do you want, Gia?"
Feeling bold, I lifted myself out of my seat, crawled over to his lounger, and began to straddle him. "This?" I said, before devouring his lips and kissing him with every ounce of my soul. "I want you, Rush," I whispered over his lips. The speed of the kiss accelerated as he suddenly lifted me up off the chair, carrying me through the doors to his bed. He put me down, hovering over me.
"I want to go slow, but I really need to taste your pussy, Gia."
His words made the muscles between my legs pulsate. Rush slowly lifted the skirt of my dress, burying his head between my legs. He softly kissed the skin between my thighs. I wriggled, unable to control my body's reaction to the sensation.
"Relax," he said.
When his tongue hit my clit, I swore I saw stars. Letting out a squeal from the contact, I bent my head back in ecstasy. My legs were now trembling. He pulled me closer in one harsh movement as he buried his mouth in me, lapping his tongue over my clit and using his entire mouth to pleasure me. My eyes were closed as I felt his fingers slip inside me. He was finger-fucking me as he continued to devour my flesh. I didn't expect to come so fast. My muscles just started to contract over his mouth. I lasted all of about a minute, unable to remember the last time a man had used his mouth to pleasure me. I screamed out in climax as I pulled on Rush's hair. He'd left me completely limp and speechless. Coming up for air, Rush licked his lips and groaned,
"I can't wait to fuck you, Gia."
His erection was straining through his jeans. I knew he needed release, and I couldn't wait to give it to him. Grabbing onto his belt buckle, I tried to unzip his pants when he placed his hand over mine to stop me.
I can't go there tonight. I'll wreck you.
He suddenly hopped off the bed.
I'll be right back.
He disappeared for a long while, and when he came back, I could only assume he'd gone to jerk off, because he seemed calm.
Scoot over,
he said as he enveloped me in his arms. He'd given me the best orgasm of my life, and now he was holding me. I couldn't say it got any better than that. I missed this, I said. Sleeping next to you?
You only had it once and you missed it?
He said, against my back. Every night since. Rush kissed my back softly.
Me too, Gia.
The warmest feeling came over me. I felt incredibly safe in his arms, safer than I probably ever had in my entire life. He traced his fingers up and down my arm as he lay behind me, spooning. Relaxed and content in the moment, I closed my eyes to enjoy the post-orgasmic haze that blanketed me. Our chests moving in unison, his front to my back, must have rocked me to sleep. Because the next thing I knew, the warmth of the sun hitting my face woke me, to find an empty bed. I leaned against the kitchen doorway. Now that was a morning view I could get used to. Rush stood in front of the oven, shirtless, with his hair wet, cooking something that smelled delicious while swaying to music. It struck me as odd that the music was country. I'd have taken him more for heavy metal or something.
You gonna stand there and stare at me, or come give me a kiss good morning?
Rush spoke without turning around. How did you know I was even standing here? He rapped his knuckles on the stainless steel hood over the oven.
Reflection. Nice outfit, by the way.
I'd fallen asleep in my dress, and when I saw the shirt Rush wore yesterday on the floor next to the bed this morning, I decided to change into it after washing up in his bathroom. I padded over to him and wrapped my arms around his waist. Good morning. He craned his neck back and met my tilted head for a kiss.
Sleep good?
Actually, really good. I don't even remember falling asleep. Your bed must be really comfortable. He chuckled.
Yeah, it was the bed, not my mouth on your pussy that tuckered you out.
You're so crass. He plated the eggs in the pan just as toast popped up from the toaster.
I forgot. I have to bribe you with a drink to get you to say dirty words.
He winked.
Go sit. I'll make you some coffee and decide what I want to hear in order for you to get any caffeine.
We sat down together for breakfast, and I couldn't help but ogle Rush's body. He had a lean yet strong, muscular build. His pecs were sculpted. Abs were chiseled into a six-pack. Or maybe it was eight. I definitely wanted to count the peaks and valleys with my tongue at some point, and his arms were corded and bulged each time he brought his coffee mug to his lips. I won't even get started on that thin line of hair that ran from his belly button down into his sweatpants.
What's going on in that nutty head of yours this morning?
Rush had been watching me stare. I'm just checking out the merchandise. He arched a brow. What? You got to see me before you decided to ask me out on a date. I didn't get to see you. His brows drew down.
When did I get to see you naked?
In the yellow bikini? He smirked.
That wasn't exactly naked, although I did see some areola and your entire ass. So it was pretty close.
I don't know what it was about Rush, but he made me bold. I shot him a devilish grin. Well, I wouldn't want to be unfair. I promptly lifted the shirt I had on up and over my head, tossing it on the floor. I'd left my bra with my dress in the bedroom, so all I had on was a black lacy thong. Rush's fork clanked to the plate.
Fuck,
he swallowed.
You're not making this easy.
I tilted my head coyly. Are you saying I make it hard for you? His eyes trained on my breasts. I actually watched them darken to a deeper shade of green.
You have gorgeous tits.
Thank you. I sipped my coffee, trying to act casual.
I'd like to fuck them.
I choked mid-sip and sputtered some coffee onto my plate. I'd started this, but Rush had certainly taken over. My mouth was suddenly dry, and it was my turn to swallow.
You'd like to... fuck them.
Okay. His eyes flickered to my neck, and he pointed at it.
I love your collarbone. It's so delicate and pretty. The skin around it is so perfect and smooth.
Thank you.
I'm gonna come on it.
Pardon?
All over your neck. After I fuck those gorgeous tits.
I squirmed in my chair. And when is this happening? His eyes rose and locked with mine. They gleamed with wickedness.
Whenever I want.
Maybe it should have upset me that the guy I'd just started dating had just told me at breakfast that he planned to have sex with my breasts and finish all over my neck whenever he wanted. But damn, I was game. I jumped when Rush abruptly pushed his chair back from the table. He walked to where I sat and leaned down to kiss my lips.
Put your shirt back on. I'm trying to be good.
He scooped it up from the floor and held it out to me. I pouted.
Titty fucking requires at least another date or two.
He turned and started to walk out of the kitchen. Where are you going? You didn't finish your breakfast.
Use your imagination, Gia. I'll certainly be using mine.
Rush drove me home. Even though I wasn't ready to leave him yet, I really needed to write all day before working tonight. He idled out front instead of parking.
You're on tonight, right?
I nodded. 6 o'clock.
How about we do something tomorrow?
I'm working brunch starting at 11.
I know the boss. I'm sure he'll give you the day off.
I smiled. Okay, what do you want to do?
I was thinking of going in to see my mother. She wants me to meet some asshole she's seeing, and you wanted to see her artwork anyway.
My brows drew together. She's dating an asshole. How do you know if you haven't met him? Rush deadpanned.
He's dating my mother.
I laughed. And he's automatically an asshole just because he's dating your mother?
He starts out as an asshole, and he has to earn his way out.
I leaned over and brushed my lips with his. You're lucky I find the protective part of you adorable, because some people really might think you're the one who's the asshole.
Go right, Shakespeare.
I rubbed my nose back and forth against his. Maybe I'll write a scene where the hero goes down on the heroine, since I have such a nice memory to borrow from. Rush groaned.
Get out of my car before I have to take another shower.
I chuckled and opened the car door. Later, boss.
Chapter 16. I should have jerked off a second time this morning. Considering it was the first time in my life that I was officially dating someone, you'd think I wouldn't have to take matters into my own damn hands. Who knew dating meant stroking multiple times a day? I glanced over at Gia sitting in the passenger seat. She had on a royal blue silky shorts romper thing with the shoulders cut out. It made her legs look like a mile of smooth skin. I wanted to come on all of that, too. I raked my fingers through my hair. What the fuck is wrong with me when it comes to this girl? She's sweet and clean, and I want to hear her talk dirty and soil her up. Last night, I tried so hard to keep shit professional at the restaurant, but when she bent over to pick up a stack of menus that fell from the storage room across from my office, I couldn't help myself. I locked the door and sucked on those gorgeous tits until I got her to say she couldn't wait to feel my cock sliding between them. And now, even on the way to my mother's house, I was barely holding my shit together. Gia kicked off her sandals and put her bare feet up on my dash. So is the house your mom lives in the same place that you grew up? One and the same. She's been there for 35 years. That means I'll get to see where you slept as a teenager? Yep. I bet you were a handful as a teen, bringing girls back to your room and whatnot. She scrunched up her nose. On second thought, I might not want to go in that room. Come on, We can pretend we're 14 again, and I'll feel you up while sucking your face and pressing a lead pipe into your hip bone. She laughed. 14? Is that when you started feeling up girls? From her reaction, I figured it best to not tell her it was more like 12. Somewhere around there. That's young. How old were you the first time you got felt up?
18.
My eyes flashed from the road to her to see if she was kidding. She wasn't. 18 is a little old to go to first base, isn't it? She shrugged.
I guess.
Boys must have been hounding you growing up. I'm guessing the late start had nothing to do with lack of opportunity.
No. I was asked out a lot.
I glanced over at her. You just what?
I don't know. In hindsight, I think I might not have wanted to let my dad down. My mother had acted irresponsibly by having me and taking off. He put so much into raising me. I just didn't want to disappoint him.
All of the girls and most of the women I spent time with as an adult had the opposite goal in life. They wanted to piss off their fathers. I'd always kept away from the daddy's girls, telling myself they were prudes. But suddenly I wondered if I had kept away from those girls because I didn't think I could live up to the standards they had. Gia definitely had high expectations, and that scared the crap out of me. I saw the way your father looks at you, the way you two interact. I don't think it's possible for you to disappoint him. She smiled. Anyway, to get back to our conversation, I never had a boy feel me up in his bedroom. But I did let Robbie Kravitz put his hand under my sweater in the back row of the movies when we were seniors in high school. Is it fucked up that I have the urge to punch Robbie right now? She giggled.
Well, now you know how I felt over the last month. Women stopping into the restaurant to proposition you while wearing little leather skirts.
I hadn't thought about that. I didn't invite any of them. She looked out the window, quiet for a minute, and then said,
"Can I ask you something?"
When a woman asks if they can ask you something, it's usually not something I want to answer. She laughed.
"Were you with any women since we met?"
"No. I'd almost gone there the night she jumped into that fight, but honestly, I had forced myself to reach out to another woman just so I could stop thinking about Gia, and I'm doubtful I would have even gone through with it if I'd shown up. I wanted to be with someone because I thought it might stop me from obsessing over you, but I never actually did it." She nodded and said nothing, which made me fucking paranoid. Does she have something to confess? Were you with anyone?
No. I've only been with one other person in the last year, and like I told you, that was a total mistake. I got lonely and fell for the nice guy routine because I missed feeling a connection with a man. But I realized after he left me with the wrong number that sex doesn't satisfy the connection I missed.
I shook my head. Now I want to beat the crap out of the asshole who played you too, for a variety of reasons. The first being that he got to be inside you and I haven't. Gia rested her hand on my thigh and I almost swerved out of my lane.
"We can fix that, you know," she said. "I'm not the one making us take it slow. We just passed a Holiday Inn at the last exit."
I groaned. "You're going to be the death of me, woman." "Hi." My mother opened the front door and engulfed Gia in a big hug before even acknowledging me.
"I'm so glad you could make it."
The two of them started complimenting each other on shit immediately.
"I love your necklace. Blue is your color. Did you change your hair?"
I rolled my eyes.
"What the hell am I, chopped liver?"
My mother stuck out her bottom lip.
"Aw, does my little boy feel neglected? Come here, give your mama a hug."
Well, now it just feels forced. But I didn't give a crap because my mother's the shit. I squeezed her tight and it felt freaking awesome. When she pulled back, she looked between Gia and me with the most excited face I've ever seen on her. She clapped her hands a few times, barely able to contain her enthusiasm.
"Come in, come in."
The house I grew up in was small, a typical Cape Cod-style starter home that packed many of the middle-class neighborhoods on Long Island. But my mother kept it filled with bright colors and paintings, so it always felt bigger than most of my friends' homes for some reason. The best thing that came out of my grandfather leaving me the inheritance was that I was able to pay it off for her a few years ago.
"Wow, I love this place."
Gia looked around wide-eyed.
I'm a bit of a wannabe decorator. I change the colors and move the furniture around all the time. When Heathcliff was little, he'd leave for school in the morning and the walls would be tan and couches red, and he'd come home and we'd have blue walls and I'd have a staple gun out reupholstering the couches. Gia smirked at me. Heathcliff. That sounds so funny to me, even though I know it's his name. Some of my family call him Heath, but that never felt right to me. Wasn't he named after someone?
Mom nodded.
My father. He was a good man, but Heathcliff never got the chance to meet him. He died when I was pregnant. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
He actually reminds me a lot of my dad. Tough guy, a little rough around the edges, but fiercely loyal and protective.
Gia smiled.
I've definitely noticed the protective side.
I bet you have.
Come on, let me show you my studio before Jeff gets here to take us to his gallery.
You two go ahead, I said. I'll meet you there in a few minutes. I'm going to go out back for a quick smoke. The two women turned to me and frowned in unison.
I wish you'd give that up, sweetheart, Mom said.
Me too, Gia tacked on. I looked between the two of them and growled. Just what I need. Two of you up my ass. Jeff was nothing like I expected. He looked more like a grandfather than someone my mother should be dating, although I suppose technically my mother is old enough to be a grandmother too. I just never saw her as old because she didn't act it and look so young. Jeff had gray hair, tanned skin with deep-set wrinkles, and had on a pair of loafers. I'd never even known she dated, much less got a look at a guy she spent time with, yet I expected him to look more like a rocker than a guy who sits in a damn rocker.
You're awfully quiet.
Gia walked up next to me as I pretended to study a painting in Jeff's gallery. It looked like a bunch of ink splats to me, but the price tag was $7,000. I pointed to the splat. Would you pay $7,000 for that? She chuckled.
I don't have $7,000 in my bank account, but if I did, I wouldn't be wasting it on that.
What would you be spending it on?
September.
September? She sighed.
Yeah, the house we rent is $20,000 a month in the summer months, but drops to a fraction of that in September.
I just realized I only have 6 weeks left out there. Our eyes caught.
I'm not ready for it to be over yet.
Yeah, she wouldn't be leaving if I had anything to do with it. I covered my nut for that rental with the spring and summer income, but it was too soon to ask her to stay and tell her I'd foot the bill. She bumped her shoulder to me.
So,
what do you think of your mom's boyfriend? I think he's old as fuck. She laughed.
Melody said he's only 4 years older than her.
He looks 40 older.
Who cares? He seems like a nice guy and they look happy together.
I glanced over to the other side of the gallery. Jeff and my mother stood in front of a painting, and he was telling her something while pointing at the art. Her head bent back in laughter, and my heart squeezed.
Yeah, they do look happy. You know, Gia said, people might look at us and think we make an odd couple, too. You're all tatted and have that dark and dangerous thing going on. I look like a plain Jane standing next to you.
My eyes raked up and down her. You're definitely no plain Jane. Maybe a sexy librarian guy's fantasize about bending over in between the stacks, but no plain Jane, sweetheart. She leaned to me.
I wouldn't mind if you bent me over in the stacks. In fact, I think that might be kind of hot.
My cock twitched. Down, boy.
Oh, yeah?
How about the bathroom of an art gallery while my mother and her boyfriend are in the next room? Nothing says getting to know your son's girlfriend like listening to her moan while your son rams his cock into her.
Gia jabbed my ribs with her elbow.
Crass. You love it. I bet your panties are wet. She surprised me by leaning up and kissing my cheek before whispering in my ear.
They are wet, actually. But it's not from hearing you say that you want to ram anything. They're soaked from hearing you refer to me as your girlfriend without any hesitation. Total turn on.
I wrapped a hand around her waist and pulled her flush against me.
Oh, yeah?
She nodded with an ear-to-ear smile.
Come on, girlfriend. Let's get this show on the road and have dinner with my mom and grandpa so I can get you back home and get to second base after our second date.
She arched a brow.
Second base? What the hell is second base if you think going down on me is first?
How's the book coming along, Gia? My mom asked over dinner.
It's moving along a little better now. Each day the words are coming a little faster and the characters are really taking on more of their personalities.
That's great. I often find it hardest to start a painting, but once I get going, I get into a groove and finish pretty fast.
I hope that's the case for me. I have a looming deadline.
Mom pointed to me.
My son, on the other hand, can start a painting faster than anyone I've ever met, yet he never finishes any of them.
Gia's head whipped to me.
You paint?
I shrugged. I used to, but haven't painted in years. Found I was better at finishing a piece on a person's skin than I was on canvas, though.
I don't know why I never put two and two together. Your mom is an artist, and you used to do tattoos. Of course you must be a talented painter. Do you have any of your old artwork?
In a closet somewhere.
I'd love to see them.
Mom looked between us.
Rush's art is a little different than mine.
How so? I glanced over at Mom. I don't paint landscapes.
Well, now you have me curious.
Jeff paints as well, Mom said. Not much anymore, Jeff added. I bought the gallery 15 years ago as my retirement from painting. But every once in a while I still get inspired and sit down in front of the old canvas, though these days I'm a bit rusty.
Jeff's being modest. Mom gushed.
Something I only ever saw her do when she spoke about me.
He's an amazing painter. One of his paintings was on exhibit at the gallery today.
Which one? I asked. It was called Ink Splatter. My eyes jumped to Gia's and we both lifted our drinks to our mouths in an attempt to hide our smirks. After dinner and coffee, which was a fuck of a lot less painful to share with the guy my mother is dating than I thought it would be, we headed out to the parking lot. Mom and Gia spent a few minutes talking, and Mom promised she would come out for a long weekend before the end of the summer. Jeff looked me in the eye and gave me a firm handshake.
Your mother is a special woman. Your opinion means the world to her.
I'd like to get to know you better. Maybe I could come out for a round of golf one weekend.
Sure. I'm not that great at golf, though.
I basically whack the ball as far as I can to try and reach the longest distance.
Jeff smiled.
Good. I suck at it, too. Driving range for an hour, longest drive, doesn't have to pay for the beers afterward. Now you're talking. Maybe Grandpa wasn't so bad after all. The ride home felt like it took forever because I couldn't wait to get my hands on Gia alone. I still didn't think we should seal the deal, but there was no fucking way we were calling it a night without fooling around, at least. I pulled off the expressway and into our neighborhood.
You need anything from your place?
Her lips slid into an adorable smirk.
That's a bit presumptuous of you, isn't it? You're assuming I'm coming home with you and staying the night?
You bet your ass I am. I've been a perfect gentleman all night. That shit stays at the door when we get to my house. I'm going to do filthy things to your body, and you're going to love it.
She swallowed. Jesus, Rush.
I prefer to be called God, as in, oh, God, oh, God.
You're such a jerk.
True. But do you need anything from your house? Because I need to make a left at the light if you do.
No, I'm good.
I side glanced at her. No pills or anything?
Pills?
She was confused what I meant at first, but then it hit her.
Oh, no. I'm not on the pill anymore. I stopped taking them over a year ago since I wasn't, you know, active anymore. But I guess I should get back on them.
Another reason to take things slow. The last thing I needed was to fuck this girl's life up just as she's getting started by knocking her up. And I was pretty certain that when I finally got inside of her, I was going to shoot such a big load that I'd fill up a condom and that shit would spill over into her. If you don't mind taking them, it would be safer that way.
No, I don't mind. Plus, then we can...
Fuck bareback. She blushed.
I was going to say make love without having to stop and put on a condom, but yeah...
My cock swelled at the thought of being inside her bear. I stepped on the gas to get the rest of the way home and practically ran us to the front door. Tossing my keys on the table inside, I said, "Make yourself comfortable. I need to take a quick shower." She grabbed my hand before I could run off.
"Want company?"
I groaned. "You're killing me."
Chapter 17. My nerves started to get the best of me when I heard the shower water turn off. I'd stripped out of all my clothes, rubbed oil all over my breasts, and perched myself on the corner of the bed while I waited for Rush. This would be my first experience having a man slide himself in and out of my cleavage, and I wasn't quite sure what position might work best. Something told me Rush knew exactly how he'd like it to go down, since he seemed to have fantasized about doing it to me before. He emerged from the bathroom with a towel wrapped around his waist, and looking down as he used another one to dry his hair. He froze when he glanced up and saw me. The heat in his eyes pushed out the nervousness that I felt. Rush had a way of making me feel beautiful and desired without saying a single word. I reached up and cupped my breasts, pushing them together. "I borrowed some of the oil that I found in your nightstand." He stared at me for a long time. I got the feeling that he was trying to rein himself in. My eyes dropped to the bulge growing in his towel. It definitely wasn't working. Unconsciously, I licked my lips, and when I looked up, I saw he was watching me. I nearly stopped breathing when he reached to the knot in his towel and it dropped to the floor. Jesus. It was long. It was thick. And it was gloriously hard. The air in the room crackled as we stared at each other. His voice was gruff.
"Get in the center of the bed. Lie on your back."
Once I was settled, he walked over to the edge of the bed and looked down at me as he fisted his cock.
"I just came so hard in the shower imagining this."
My entire body was on fire. I was more turned on just thinking about what I was about to experience than I'd ever been during any actual sexual act. Rush lifted a knee to climb onto the bed and then straddled me. I squeezed my breasts together in offering. Locking eyes, he dipped his hips down and guided his cock between my breasts. His eyes closed as he steadied himself for a few seconds. Then he began to pump fast and furious. I squeezed as hard as I could as he slid his thick length in and out, over and over.
"Fuck. Fuck. Your tits feel so good. I'm gonna come all over you. The silky skin on your neck. Your beautiful collarbone. I want to paint your entire body with my cum. Mark it as mine."
I swallowed. Jesus Christ. I loved the way he seemed so possessive of me, as if he couldn't help himself and wanted to dominate my body in an almost animalistic way. He opened his eyes and stared down.
"Fuck. So beautiful. So perfect."
Watching his orgasm take hold was one of the most magnificent things I'd ever witnessed. The tension in his face coiled as the muscles in his abs went rigid. With a groan of my name that was so sexy it had my own body close to its own release, he let go. Exactly how he'd said he'd wanted to. All over my neck. The protectiveness in Rush extended to aftercare. He cleaned me up with a warm towel and then returned the favor by going down on me again. Unlike last time, though, I didn't pass out from exhaustion right after. While Rush had fallen asleep, I remained awake. My thoughts wandered from obsessing over getting my heart broken to fantasizing about what actual sex would be like with him. The latter led me to think about our conversation earlier and my monthly cycle, when I could start back on the pill. Wasn't I due for my period? Would that ruin it for me if he wanted to have sex this week? It was at that moment, in the middle of the night, lying in Rush's bed, I realized I couldn't remember the last time I'd had a normal cycle. Last month was so light and spotty, but I still assumed it was my period. And now I'm late. But how late? Panic set in. It couldn't have been that much more than a month ago. Was it? Suddenly, I started to really panic. I normally marked down the first day of my cycle on my phone calendar. I needed to know. I needed to check my phone right now to see when the last time I had marked it down was. Rush was still out like a light as I moved his arm off me and slipped past him, making my way over to my purse on the floor. Taking out my phone, I went straight to the calendar. I scrolled back through the days to check the last time I'd made a note about my period. Passing over the last month and realizing there was no note entered, I started to feel my heart beating faster. It wasn't until my finger stopped on the date of the last entry that I really started to freak out. The last time I had gotten a normal period was over 2 months ago. It wouldn't have been so concerning were it not for the fact that I'd had sex with a man prior to that time. My one-night stand from the Heights. The following morning, I tried my best to remain calm for the remainder of my time with Rush. There was no sense in freaking out or jumping to conclusions without a concrete answer. Rush dropped me off at my house and left me alone to allegedly write. But there was no writing happening. I must have stared at the wall in my room for several hours. My eyes wandered over to the sunset painting that Rush's mom had given me. It was an image that once brought me so much joy, but that now made me feel pure sadness. A reminder of all the things I could be missing out on. An entire life of possibilities that might never be. I'd be seeing Rush tonight again, and I didn't know how I was going to face him unless I knew for certain. Yet I just couldn't get myself to go to the store and buy a pregnancy test. How could I have put myself in a position where this was even a remote possibility? I'd done my best all my life to make sound decisions. That night with Harlan was one of the few times I had truly screwed up. I mean, I didn't even know his last name or if his name was really Harlan. I couldn't contact him if I wanted to. I had been feeling vulnerable and depressed about my career when I met him, and he'd provided a distraction, charmed the pants off me. Literally. But it was a huge mistake. To think that one mistake in judgment could possibly mean my ending up with a lifetime of responsibility was unfathomable. I could barely take care of myself. I wasn't ready to be a single mother. It would break my dad's heart. And that scenario would surely be the end of Rush and me. He was hesitant to commit to a relationship as it was, let alone get involved with a girl carrying another man's child. A man who'd disappeared. Placing my head in my hands, I thought back to last night. How amazing it felt to be with Rush. I was falling so hard for him. I knew he was taking it physically slower with me than he was used to. And that made my need for him even stronger. I wanted him so badly in every way. Now, I might never get to have any part of him. Unless this result was negative, I might never experience what it would be like to truly be with Rush. I needed to know. I was seriously afraid that I'd have a heart attack if it were positive. Unsure if I could handle taking the test alone, I pondered whether I could trust Riley with this secret. If it turned out she was in her room, I'd tell her. If she wasn't, that would be my sign from above to keep this to myself. Riley was sitting in front of her vanity, curling waves into the front of her hair when I interrupted. She could immediately tell something was wrong from the look on my face as I stood in her doorway. She put down her curling iron. Did something happen? My tone was firm. Riley, you need to promise me you won't say anything to anyone. What the? Did Rush do something? No. Rush is amazing. This doesn't have anything to do with him. Sitting down on her bed, I got right to the point. Do you remember the one-night stand I had with that guy from the Heights? The one who gave you the wrong number? Yeah. Well, I'm scared he might have left me with more than just a wrong number. Her eyes widened. Do you have a disease? I shook my head. No. At least, I hope not. What then? I had a spotty period last month, and I'm late now. She covered her mouth. Oh my God. My voice was trembling. I'm scared, Riley. Really scared. Does Rush know? Of course not. I can't even imagine how he'd react. This would completely blindside him. We've gotten really close, to the point where I think I couldn't say the words, even though I felt them deep inside my heart. She read my mind. You're falling in love with him. Yes. Tears started to stream down my cheeks as I nodded in silence. I was totally losing it now. Come here. Riley moved over to the bed and embraced me. I have to find out, but I'm scared. She took a deep breath in, then blew it out slowly. Okay, tell you what, you stay here, try not to panic, I'll go to the store and buy a test. Ironically, I have to run and get condoms for my date tonight. I sniffled. All right. It's going to be interesting when the cashier rings me up for condoms and a pregnancy test. She grinned. Staring at the box isn't going to make this situation go away. There's only one way to know, she said. I know. Forcing myself up off the bed, I ventured into the bathroom and numbly opened the package, following the directions and peeing on the stick. With my heart pounding, I walked back out to the bedroom where Riley was waiting and exhaled. I sat down on the bed, and she joined me. Riley rubbed my back. Just breathe, Gia. 5 minutes, I sighed. My phone chimed, nearly scaring the crap out of me because my nerves were so sensitized. When I reached for it, I realized it was a text from Rush. Rush, remember that shower you wanted to take with me last night, but I wouldn't let you? Yeah, I think it might have to be on tonight. I can't stop thinking about lathering up those delicious tits, but not before I slide between them again. Okay with you? That message would have normally made me so excited about tonight. Instead, an unimaginable pain filled me. I already felt like I'd lost him somehow. It was hard to imagine not having Rush around anymore. He'd consumed every part of my life from the moment I first met him. I guess I should write back. Gia, I miss you already. He had no idea that there was deeper meaning in that statement. I already missed what I knew I could potentially be losing in a matter of minutes. It was past the time to look at the test now. The results would be there. I just couldn't get myself to go back in the bathroom. You want me to check it? She asked. Swallowing nervously, I rubbed my palms on my thighs. Yeah. Please? Riley crossed the hall and entered the bathroom. It felt like the longest 30 seconds of my life. When she came back, her face was flush. She looked sullen. She didn't even have to say anything. I knew. My phone chimed. Rush, you've fucked me up, Gia. I'm crazy for you. His words were like a knife to the heart and couldn't have come at a worse possible time. Feeling numb, I closed my eyes, and Riley pulled me into a side hug. Leaning my head on her shoulder, I knew I was going to have to tell him. But I needed just one more night. One more night where it was just Rush and me. One more night before I inevitably lost him.
Chapter 18. Gia insisted that we stay in tonight. She said she wasn't feeling well and just wanted to spend time with me at my place. I wasn't going to argue with that. After a long day of making the rounds at several different properties and getting into it with this one contractor, there was nothing I wanted more than to just chill with my girl. Whoa, my girl. Fuck. Did I just say that? I did. Gia was my girl. What was happening to me that I actually loved the thought of being tied down, tied up? Whatever. Fact is, I'd never wanted to be attached until she came along and taught me that there was a first time for everything. Well, damn. I couldn't remember the last time I'd had a girlfriend. It was probably in high school, but even then, my relationships were short-lived. I used to think I didn't want it, but now I realize it was just that the right person hadn't come along. Gia had insisted on driving herself to my place. That was fine with me because it gave me extra time to make something for us to eat. Cooking wasn't my forte, but I was one hell of a griller. I could marinate the fuck out of some vegetables and meat, throw it all on skewers, and slap them on the grill. I made pilaf in the rice cooker and threw some garlic bread in the oven. Earlier, I'd stopped at the liquor store to pick up Gia's favorite Moscato. That definitely elevated my pussy whip status up by a notch. When she knocked on the door, I put my beer down and went to let her in. Her shoulders were rising and falling as she stood in the doorway. She looked anxious. She was wearing a red strapless dress, and her flushed skin looked like it was trying to compete with the color of her outfit. Gia lifted her hand. "Hey." I pulled her into a hug, and that turned into me lifting her up in the air as she wrapped her legs around me. I kissed her so hard, sucking all the clear gloss off her lips. When I put her down, I couldn't help noticing how good her tits looked. They looked huge, like they wanted to spill out of that dress. "I missed you today," I said. Pussy whipped. "I missed you too." When I finally pried my eyes away from her breasts and looked up at her face, I noticed that it seemed like her eyes were watery. My brows furrowed. "Are you crying?" She sniffled. "I don't know what's wrong with me. I just got emotional all of a sudden. I'm sorry. That happens to me sometimes. It's random. I'm fine." She wiped her eyes. "Really happy, actually. I promise." I didn't know what to make of that. I just knew I needed to taste her lips again. Caressing her cheek, I brought her mouth to mine. Gia took a deep breath in. "Something smells really delicious." I grilled us up some dinner. "Thought it was about time you sampled my meat," I winked. When she didn't respond to that with laughter, in fact, when she didn't respond at all, I knew something was still preoccupying her. It was unlike Gia not to come back with something. Placing my hand around her waist and inching her closer to me, I said, "You sure you're okay?" "Yes," she smiled. We ended up eating dinner on the deck. We both devoured the steak tips with mushrooms, peppers, onions, and zucchini. Gia said she didn't feel like any of the wine, which was odd. So, I tried to make her something else. Even trying to get her to say a dirty word in exchange for a Cosmo didn't work. We watched the sun setting as I sipped my own wine while she drank water. Hanging out on my deck like this was becoming our thing. After dinner, Gia sat in between my legs as we stared out at the dark ocean. Her hair was blowing in the breeze when she suddenly said, "I want to learn everything about you, Rush. I don't want to miss anything there is to know. We have plenty of time for that, don't we?" She turned around momentarily when she said, "No one knows how much time we ever have." I squeezed her. "Okay, Miss Morbid. What do you want to know? I'll tell you. Anything at all. Shoot." "What's your favorite color?"
"Black."
"No surprise there. It suits you," she chuckled.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
"That's a bit of a jump."
"I know. I'm just asking questions as they pop into my head."
I thought about her question, then said, "I honestly don't know, Gia. I know the typical answer that most people would give is, married with kids and a dog or some shit, but I'm not most people. That was never how I saw my life. But I'm realizing lately that what I thought I wanted and what I actually want might be different. I don't have a clear grasp on what 10 years from now or even tomorrow looks like." I spoke against the back of her neck. "I hope you'll just wing this with me." She turned around and answered me silently with a kiss. Then she blurted out,
"How many women have you been with?"
I should have seen this coming at some point. "Why do you even want to know that?"
"Morbid curiosity, I guess."
I sighed. "I honestly don't know. I never counted. I wanted to give her something, so I estimated. If I had to guess, maybe 50.
"Wow. Okay."
"Wow," I mimicked. "Tell me what you're thinking."
"I honestly didn't know what to expect there. I thought maybe it could even be more than that."
I didn't really know if I wanted to know the answer, but I asked anyway. "How many men have you slept with?"
5,
she answered without hesitation. I suddenly wanted to kill 5 men I'd never met. "That's not that bad," I said.
"It is what it is, right?"
"Yeah," I said, still a little jealous, which was fucked up. Gia hesitated before she asked,
"Have you ever been in love?"
She was definitely hitting me with all the big questions tonight. There was only one relationship in my life that ever came close to that. Since we seemed to be opening up tonight, I decided to tell her a story. The closest I ever came was with a girl named Beth.